Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Shot. You're with Lin Lee. Have you ever tried to pay for food, takeout or groceries at a neighborhood shop only to realize that you forgot your wallet? Well, that is a distant memory because I hardly ever use cash anymore. And I'm a big fan of QR payments or card payments, never with cash. So, you know, more shops have started adopting digital payment options. So paying without cold hard cash or a physical credit card, it's still possible if you got your credit card linked to your smartphone thanks to a lot of fintech technologies. Other services such as bank transactions or even setting up doctor appointments have also moved online. At a recent e-payments event, Minister for Communications and Information Josephine Teo stressed that in order to ensure no one gets left behind, Singapore should aim to be digital first, but not digital only. But as the country ramps up efforts to grow its tech talent to meet the demands of a fast-growing digital economy, can everyone keep up? To help us analyze that, we have on the line Carol Soon, Senior Research Fellow, Institute of Policy Studies, where she heads the Society and Culture Department. She is also Vice Chair of the Media Literacy Council. Good morning, Carol. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Okay, just wondering, I know this is a phone interview, but do you do a lot of Zoom calls?
Every day.
Okay, so how digitally proficient do you think you are?
Well, if we go on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not proficient at all and 10 being maybe super proficient, I think I'll put myself somewhere between 6 and 7.
Also curious, how do you even start to measure that?
So when we talk, we just need to break down digital proficiency, mm-hmm. right? And if we look at the kind of research work that has been done and policy work that has been done in different countries, essentially we can break it down into, I think, three main areas. One is access, whether mm-hmm. one is able to, say, download the relevant apps and use them to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. The other one is in terms of consumption, right? Whether we're able to use different technologies and platforms to search for the relevant information that we need, but not just relevant information, but also be able to discern quality information, right? Mm-hmm. And finally, I think digital proficiency is no longer just about access and consumption, but also about production. Mm. Are we able to contribute, right, to the content online? So I think if we go by these three domains, I would safely put myself between 6 and 7. So definitely some room for improvement.
Okay, looking at those aspects you mentioned there, what are some of the services you think can potentially be or should be moved online completely? And which are the ones you feel should not?
I think you mentioned earlier how many payments are moving online and that you yourself hardly use cash anymore.
Yes.
I still use some cash. Mm-hmm. And we can see how digital technology has made a lot of transactions a lot more efficient mm-hmm. and cheaper. So, but when it comes to certain services that may not be moved online or should take its time to move online, I think we should look at those services that do not just fulfill a transactional need, but also an emotional need, right? Mm. So for instance, finance, mm. banks, healthcare, right? Hospital settings, mm. polyclinics, and even education. And here, education, I'm not necessarily talking only about primary school or secondary school education, but even adult learning. So I think in some of these situations, complexity is one. Mm-hmm. In terms of the technology that's to be deployed. But very importantly, there's also a fair bit of emotional stress when people are in some of these settings, right? Mm-hmm. Going to banks to settle transactions that have gone wrong in healthcare settings where they are already at an emotionally mm-hmm. quite vulnerable state. So I think rule of thumb, the smaller number of steps, the simpler the user journey, are those services that we should consider moving online first and more quickly.
Okay, let's zoom in on a particular segment of our population, seniors in their 60s and 70s, right? There's a recent digital readiness survey that found that about 60 to 70% of them agree that digital tech has made their lives easier, and yet less than half of them are keen to try out new tech. There's still this resistance. What do you make of that?
It's not surprising. I think that the high percentage of 60 to 70% of seniors in this age group finding that tech has made their lives easier, it's a very good sign, mm-hmm. right? So clearly they recognize the utility and the value of technology in different aspects of their lives. But the fact that this group, less than half of this group, are keen to try out new tech, I think it points to the very, very steep learning curve that this group has to face when they pick up new technology, right? Whether it's a new device or a new app. So it is unsurprising because in the research that I've done, it shows that efficacy or rather confidence among this group is very low, lower compared to other age groups. And not to mention the sense of the lack of efficacy or confidence, there's also this high level of fear and anxiety. And it doesn't help when we're living in a world of scams, you know, all the headline news we're seeing of people being cheated of their money, etc. So all these, I think, adds to the fear and discourages them from picking up new technology.
So what do you think can be done to increase that efficacy and confidence when it comes to this segment of the population?
I think two things. One, at the more, I think, tangible or physical aspect would be, say, in terms of language and the user interface. While we do have platforms and apps in different languages, let us not forget those who might not be literate. So let's consider improving their user experience in addition to simplifying things, making instructions and content available in non-textual formats, for instance, audio or video. And to up their confidence, I think social support is needed, whether it's in the form of their peers. And it's great that we, you know, we have organizations like RSVPs who tap on seniors, reaching out to other seniors, right? Because nothing works best than peer influence and peer support.
Okay, certainly putting things in perspective there. Are there successful models adopted by other countries that you think we can maybe learn from?
I don't think there's one particular country that we should look to. Again, it depends on how they're defining digital proficiency. So for instance, certain Scandinavian countries, they rank quite high in terms of digital inclusion and e-inclusiveness. Then you have other parts of the world, like in South Korea or Taiwan, which are doing very well in terms of engaging citizens online and getting them to participate in governance, creating content, etc.
Okay, wrapping things up before we let you go. Aside from the community, companies too are undoubtedly also affected by digitalization, right? What's your perspective on how media companies should approach it? Is it still digital first or...?
Numerous surveys worldwide, including the ones that we've conducted at IPS during election time and non-election time, points to one undeniable fact. News consumption is going increasingly digital first and mobile first. So clearly, I think we may come to the stage where we may not see hard copies of newspapers anymore, right? And everything will be accessed via the internet and via our smartphones. So clearly, there is a huge urgency to invest in businesses and build their capacity so that they can expand their businesses. And we need to tailor it to different media companies who are at different stages of growth, right? For example, new publishers or publishers who already have a basic digital product and those brick and mortar publications who want to do more digitally. So the strategies, the support, the programs have to be tailored to businesses who are at different stages of growth.
All right. Thank you very much, Carol, for sharing your views with us. We've been speaking with Carol Soon, Senior Research Fellow at the Institute of Policy Studies and Vice Chair of the Media Literacy Council.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.